Well, I'm here with Mike Kurowski. I'm going to have Mike pronounce his last name. So being dyslexic, I'm terrible at names.
Oh,
and,
yeah, no, it's,
so can you pronounce your last name, Mike?
It's Rostowski. So if you had a friend, if you had a friend named Ross and he had to throw you some keys, like Rostowski, that's David came up with that. So that's Rostowski.
Well, I completely had that off, so thank you. So we're off to a good start. You've corrected me already. So we're here with Mike, and he's going to be talking about his amazing new program that he has, which is the School for Men. And I want him to explain really what that is and a quick synopsis of what a man would get from that.
Yeah, sure. We'll just go right into it. The School for Men, really, like what it really truly is at its core, it's an evolutionary fraternity. I mean, that's kind of what I'm really creating. The logistics and the details of the program, which to me aren't as important as like bringing men together in community, are that, you know, it's a 12-week program, online program, core curriculum with just the core concepts of, just really like mastering the game of life, like self-awareness and integrity and emotional power, sexual power, the world of women, impermanence, courage, just kind of this core curriculum with videos, homework, men's groups, Q&A calls. So that's what it is. But the big why is, I've pretty much committed my life to men's work right now in this chapter of it. And, just really like serving men, studying men, studying like masculinity from a historical perspective and, talking with men, creating conferences, events, meetup groups, like free webinars, reaching out to just really successful men, interviewing them like I interviewed you for the Symposium for Men. And, I think I really hit on this, these core myths that keep men playing small, that keep them living in the man box, that keep them, suffering in isolation, that keeps the suicide rate for men, it's like 3 to 4 times that of women. And the big one that I really want to combat and destroy is real men don't ask for help. And that's really just like a big piece of why I'm creating the School for Men, just to give men a safe space to ask for help and to be like fully themselves, like fully with their fears and challenges and successes and celebrations, just like really fully be themselves. So yeah, that's what I'm creating. And it's the biggest project of my life right now. And it's just something that I believe in so much as I look at the world from like a macro perspective. I see so much low hanging fruit, in terms of, like emotional and spiritual growth for men, because there's a ton of it for women, and Oprah is pretty much the personal development channel now, and women have goddess circles and sister circles, and there's like women's sisterhood days, and I mean there's so much for women around that like emotional spiritual growth, but for men, it's like we have masterminds and sometimes some guys get together and like talk over beers, but normally it's more on a bragging or just kind of joking type way. So, I really want to just like open men up to what's possible in life. If you make that treacherous journey from your head to your heart, which is oftentimes the hardest journey for most men, but it's just such an incredible space to operate from. Gosh, like I'll go ahead and stop talking about me. I could go on for hours about just how poor the quality of my life was for most of my life and how just ridiculously amazing it is now. In terms of my relationships, my partnership with my girlfriend, the clients that I work with, just my general level of happiness and fulfillment throughout the day. And yeah, it's a lot of work, and it's some of like the scariest work, of my life, but it's totally worth it. So yeah, that's a bit about what I'm about right now in this chapter of my life.
Well, I love it. I mean, I love the content, but more than that, I love your passion. And I also know your history, Mike. So I know that, that a lot of this course and really all your work with men, as you inferred, comes from your own personal work. Mm-hmm. So what one thing that you've done in all these years of working on yourself and really training yourself to be that man that you want to be that made the biggest difference?
Man, there's so many. I left my corporate job, wrote a book, did a conference. As I look back, the thing that had the biggest overall, the biggest overall up leveling would be when I went to World Domination Summit for the first time. I bought a ticket on a whim, and I had never done anything like this before. I'd never really invested in myself, my own money. I worked in corporate America doing human resources, and I used the company's money to take every training class that I could. I was always taking training classes and extra classes on coaching, and I was even trying to negotiate with them to pay for a coaching certification. But it wasn't my money. And I think I did a yoga teacher certification when I was 25, and that was amazing. But going to this conference of like 500 entrepreneurs and world travelers and just really incredible people who were living a remarkable life in a conventional world, which is the tagline for World Domination Summit, making that investment in myself, just everything changed. I mean, everything changed so rapidly that I still sometimes kind of look around at my life and think, wow, like how did I get here? I'm sitting in a condo right now that's, you know, like 9 minutes from the beach, and I'm with my amazing girlfriend, and we get to spend time together every morning, like meditating and eating breakfast, and it's and my friends like you and all these like just incredible men that are in my life, and I can really trace it back to the first time that I made an investment in myself. And something that I say a lot is the journey begins when you write the check. And literally, like, from the moment that I bought that ticket, even being part of the Facebook group in WDS and connecting to some people and getting there a day early, and I went like skydiving for the first time with, you know, 40 strangers, many of them who are my best friends now. It's amazing. I for the first time in my life, I made that commitment and I made that investment in myself, and just everything has been different ever since that. And I've talked to a lot of people, and they kind of have that same story. Like you'll never forget either the first event or the first program or the first something that you purchase and that you buy into, because just everything changes from there. Because you upgrade your community in such a major way, that just there's almost like no way that I can fail now, just because of this safety net of incredible human beings, men and women who just have my back.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's sort of been my story. I mean, and yeah, we all hesitate. We think about, particularly as guys, as we know, Mike, you know, we'll think about, analyze our decisions, you know, get suggestions, pro and con, and we'll sit on the fence for a long time before we, you know, as you say, write that check, take that action. And part of it is that, yeah, you know, as men, as you know, we tend not to do anything until we have to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's hard for us to make an investment unless we're in some kind of critical pain.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk about how, you know, as men, we don't have to wait until we're right there on the edge or someone's pushing us over the edge, and that we can, you know, take a risk even though we might not know what's on the other side of that risk.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So we typically don't do anything. You know, there's two main drivers to change. There's inspiration and there's desperation. Men normally, you know, hit a rock bottom and then go, all right, I need to change my life. I like doing this exercise with men, either with new clients or with friends where I'll just ask them, what do you want? And I'll ask that same question like 100 times. What do you want? Mm-hmm. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And then they'll just keep answering. They'll say, I want to be loved. I want to change the world. I want to drive a Tesla. I want a girlfriend. I want to have a child. And just all these dreams and desires just come up out of nowhere. Cause they've never really accessed. I mean, so many men just have not accessed their dreams and their desires. I know I never did. I saw this path of go to college, work, get my MBA, work, and then just work for the rest of my life, and you know, save up some money in various retirement accounts, and retire at who knows, like 55, 60, and then who knows what I'll do after then, but I'll be retired. And it's really funny when I hear people reflect things back to me, just on me being fearless or inspiring. Cause the truth is that most of my life, I lived paralyzed in fear. I was the most risk averse person ever. I mean, I probably could have gone to college, pretty much anywhere. I tested pretty well, in standardized tests when I was young, and I owe a lot to my Japanese tiger mom for making me study my multiplication tables when I was 3 years old. But you know, I had all these offers from different colleges, but it seemed too scary for me. So I was telling the story of, you know, my family doesn't have enough money. So I lived at home. I literally lived at home, like in the same room, and my mom made dinner and did my laundry until I was like 24 years old. Which means I haven't even been living on my own that long, compared to other people. And, I never moved from my hometown until I was 27. So it's funny that people see me as this like world traveling guy who, you know, ran his business from all over the world, which is true, which happened after I attended World Domination Summit. But for most of my life, I just lived paralyzed in fear. And I only, you know, you only get what you ask for. So that's such a big realization that I had. And like I'll say it again, you only get what you ask for. And for most of my life, I didn't ask for anything. I was the least assertive just man in the world. And I dated the girls who more like chose me or the ones who knows, like felt pity enough to take me under their wing. and I got the jobs, just, you know, the jobs that I happened to get. Cause the really good jobs just seemed so out of my, you know, ability, or just, you know, they just seem so far off. And moving out of state just seemed way too scary. You know, like there's no way I could do something like that. So, I had a really, just a really not that remarkable life, for most of my life, I'd say until I was about 30. And I just followed what, you know, what everyone told me that I was supposed to do. And then I went to that conference, and my mom passed away the night before the conference. So it was just a double whammy of like, this is your life. What are you going to do with it? And sort of ever since then, I've just been like this man on fire, just kind of ignited, on this mission to one, have the most like legendary life possible, because now I see life for what it is, and it's almost like this cosmic video game that that definitely has an ending, and it's not a dress rehearsal, and it's such a like precious gift and such a miracle to even be alive. So why would I not, you know, why would I not try to like extract every bit of happiness and fulfillment and goodness and try and contribute as much as possible, try and bring up as many guys as I can, to this like level of happiness, fulfillment, success. Yeah, I just why not? That's a question that I ask a lot. And it's even a question that like sometimes has me kind of confused why more men don't do men's work. And you know, sometimes I'll be talking to friends and I just don't get it. Like, why don't more guys do this? Like, do they know I'll be super straightforward. I live in San Diego right now, where there's so many just like beautiful, really just tapped in spiritual, entrepreneurial, just everything type women out there out here. And I feel like most of them are single and there's just, and they're dying for just like a man who has done some work. I mean, not even a lot. And just the, like, wow, just, I just don't get it sometimes. You know, I just don't get, why more men don't do this work. And maybe my marketing will switch and just be like, come to San Diego and date all these beautiful women, because they're waiting for you. And that's like, that's the honest truth. Like there's, you know, women who, again, they've been doing this work, for years, and men really haven't been. So, you know, I know I'll just speak for myself. I mean, I feel like I was sort of like emotionally and spiritually handicapped for most of my life until I started doing this. And I'm so thankful that I fell into men's work, because it just totally changed the way that I show up for women, for men, for my clients. And it makes me sad sometimes that more men don't dive in.
Well, I think you're right. I think you hit onto something that's hugely powerful, is that, yeah, as you showed up, or you know, all of us start showing up because we've done our work, we attract a whole different set of women. And not only just in terms of quantity, but quality, mm-hmm. because as you said, these women are hungry. You know, I think for generations they've been working on their own development, and most men, we're just starting to get into that arena, and these women have been waiting for us. So what I hear in your speaking, Mike, which is beautiful, is your passion about, you know, what we miss when we sit on the other side of this fence, and this fence is like a big wood fence, and we can't even see, and we don't even have a sense of what's on the other side. So you're talking about how you climbed your fence, jumped over, and now you want, and I understand this, you want other guys to play with, and you want to share the bounty of being on this other side of the fence with all these women that want more men there, and men that are there playing in all different ways and all different levels at being a better man. And there's this whole cadre of men just walking up and down the fence going, what's over there? Should I climb it? You know, I don't know. My life is pretty good. And like you least inferred, your life was pretty good. You were successful. You were smart. Mm-hmm. And by the standards that you were living in at the time, there was nothing wrong with it. But for some reason, you decide to go to this weird conference and show up. I mean, you literally show up and jump out of a plane with 40 other people. And then your life starts to change, and you didn't put the brakes on at any point. And now life keeps bringing you more and more. And if you're like me, you had no sense of that before you started.
No, I mean, no sense at all. Just no sense or even awareness of anything. Like I feel like I was just like a child for those, the first 30 years of my life. And, And what's funny is I thought I was good. Like, I thought I was good at life. I was a quote unquote, like, top performer, academically. Like, I was first in my class in high school and president of my MBA class. So I was kind of telling that lie or that myth to myself of, oh, you know, like, I've got it all figured out. Which I think is just one of the most dangerous myths for men. And I've seen that with men who either, you know, make a lot of money or they sell a startup or they do some, you know, some spiritual work. Like they go to a Mankind Project retreat or they get coaching for a year and they're like, yep, got it all figured out now. Or they reach a certain age where they think, you know what, now I'm 50 or now I'm, you know, 60. I'm good. And that just kind of pains me because anytime a man says, I've got it all figured out, it's almost like he turns his brain off and he stops learning. So my turnaround for that is just, I am always learning. I will continue to just learn no matter how much money I make or no matter how good my business is going or no matter how old I get. Like, I'm just going to continue to, be open to learning. And, I don't know where that shifted, but you know, I'm so open to learning that, you know, there's guys in their early 20s who are just amazing teachers to me. My brother David and my friend Max and my friend Sam. I mean, these guys all, you know, I'll sometimes call them and I'll have, you know, really open and honest conversations about just, you know, kind of like what I'm struggling with. And they're able to like really provide some incredible like advice or hold space or, I feel very, very fortunate how open I am to learning from everyone and everything around me now. Cause it just feels like my development has just taken off, like the sort of like an exponential curve of taking off. And I think it's just cause I'm open to it where, before I was totally closed. I was totally closed to it. I thought I was all smart and stuff, and I really didn't know anything about life.
Well, and I think part of what I hear you're saying is that, you know, as men, yeah, we think learning is a academic phenomenon, and really, mm-hmm. you know, you excelled at that, and you continue to learn, you know, academic things or mental things, but really, you know, what I'm hearing, Mike, is that your learning accelerated when you expanded the scope of your learning to include your body, your heart, your connection to men and to women. Mm-hmm. And that is something that, you know, as men, we like to keep learning in that box of, you know, being a didactical experience and not a full spectrum experience. And I know for myself, and I'm hearing this from you, that it can be scary for us to go to an experience or maybe even, you know, participate in your course because it's outside the rubric that we normally operate in as men. So can you talk about how you support men and learning beyond the academics of what it is to be a man?
Yeah. A lot of my work, it's experiential. Like we don't need more knowledge. I almost feel like we're all on not like we're just overdosing on knowledge. We're just hooked up to the matrix of the internet, watching YouTube videos and listening to podcasts and blogs all day. Which is why there's so many people out there that know a lot. they know a ton about marketing or about sexuality or about spirituality. I mean, they can use all the right language. Yet they're, you know, they're unemployed and living at home and out of shape and like settling for less in every area of their life, cause they're not putting it into action. So I'm all about action. I'm all about just doing it and confidence. So I don't know, people say I'm confident. To me, confidence is just embodied action. So confidence is just what happens once you've taken a series of actions and you've realized, wow, like that really wasn't actually that scary and I didn't die. Maybe I'll do that next step and then that next step and then that next step. So in my work with men, it looks very non-traditional. I'll basically take them and just get a really honest current state of, you know, where are you in your relationship to career and money and organization and, you know, friends, community, women, sexuality, God, you know, relaxation. And I'll just create practices or create experiences in order that for them to kind of like level up, you know, maybe from a 4 to an 8 in that area. So I've done things like wrestled my clients, or I'll have them like scream at me on the phone. You know, I'll have them yell at their mom, not their actual mom, but you know, I'll have them yell, a lot of movement and a lot of like emotional movement too. And, I've witnessed, and I know you can relate, like I've witnessed so many miracles, just miraculous changes in men when they get clear on something, you know, like I won't share any of my like clients' experiences, cause that's sacred mm-hmm. space, but I'll use an example for myself. I just recently, maybe a couple months ago, I was working with my coach, and we somehow uncovered that I had this pocket of like anger and resentment towards my mother, which I never even saw that. Just didn't even see that blind spot because I loved my mom so much, and I was such a like mama's boy, like attached mm-hmm. to her hip, and I didn't realize like that there was anger there, and she held the space for me to basically kind of like throw a tantrum and to really move a lot of energy and to express some of the anger towards my mom, and then on like under that was a huge pocket of grief. So it was anger, sadness, grief, and then there's just sort of this lightness after that, and more, even more of an openness towards women, you know, towards my girlfriend, towards other women, because I was getting triggered by. I was getting triggered by kind of like loud women or by kind of angry women. And I realized, oh wow, like it's cause I still have this stuff with my mom. So yeah, I mean, that's just a simple example. And the work that I do and some of the stuff that I've experienced in these workshops or in men's groups, like it almost seems crazy. Like if someone walked in with no experience of anything, they'd say, wow, like this is just weird. Like there's guys like holding guys down under blankets and they're trying to like rip their way out or they're, you know, they're just talking and they're talking to their dead dad. Like what's that going to do? But what it does is it allows that emotion to move out of your body. And, I'm not a doctor, but I have a hunch that just so many medical conditions are just caused by unexpressed emotion. And I've seen enough like miraculous transformations of, you know, guys losing like 50, 60, 70 pounds in a matter of months, just after they basically got right with who they are and like with their emotions, and they gave themselves permission to like speak their truth, and they weren't just carrying all this anger and resentment from their childhood. And just the work is so important. And it just changes everything. I mean, I've gone to some, you know, different, I've done the Mankind Project, and I staffed my first weekend, and I worked with David Data a couple times, and every time after like this really like intense, any time after any kind of intensive or retreat like that, when I walk back out into the quote unquote real world, I'll notice myself just acting differently. You know, someone will yell at me or someone will do something and it just won't bother me like at all. And I'll even notice my conscious mind will say, wow, like that was different. You used to yell back or you used to get really upset and now you're not. So it's just, it's really powerful. I think when we grieve, all the stuff that we never had a chance to, when we were kids or, you know, teens, I think men just have decades of repressed anger and sadness and all sorts of stuff. And then when we disbelieve those lies of, you know, I'm not good enough or, you know, it's like just whatever those lies are that are keeping us in suffering. And to me, you know, that's the roadway to whatever, to salvation or enlightenment or happiness or fulfillment is just doing that work and moving those obstacles out of the way. And then once that happens, then you can just like enjoy the pleasure of your own existence. And, wherever you're at, you're just like, wow, like I'm just really happy and I'm really fulfilled just sitting here in this moment. I'm sitting on the ground on this meditation cushion and talking to my friend Owen about men's work. And I'm just thrilled to be breathing and thrilled to be alive and to be able to do this work. And not that long ago, I was just like drinking every night and hating my life. So it's definitely a possibility. It's a possibility for every man. And, I think I'll just kind of wrap up with any time I see any man do something, that's proof that I can do it too. I'm so thankful for, you know, I'm thankful for guys like you, Owen, and Brad, and Chris, and George, who all spoke at the conference for men. You know, men, you know, in their 50s to 60s. I'm so grateful to have you in my life, because you give me permission that I can be happy and healthy and awesome, you know, in my later years. And I didn't know that was a possibility. You know, like I didn't know that I could be having the best sex of my life or the deepest connections or the most fun, in my 50s and 60s. But I know men now who are living that and they're my friends. So yeah, anytime I see any man do something incredible, instead of getting jealous, I get inspired and I think, thank you. Like, thank you so much for showing me that's a possibility in this human existence.
Beautiful, beautiful. I want to sort of tie it up and compliment you at the same time, because there's a word that you haven't said. It's a four-letter word and begins with F, mm-hmm. and it's not what we think about as fail. Mm. As men, we're afraid to fail, and what you didn't say, but what we showed was that, yeah, Mike, you know, ever since you've escaped from that life that you used to have, one of the things that you've always been willing to do has been to take risks. Mm-hmm. And that risk means there's always a chance of failure. And what I'm hearing and what I know about you is that, yeah, you failed sometimes in this process. Now, you fail a lot less, but I think more importantly, it's a lot easier, if not pretty instinctual for you now to, you know, fail, make your mistake, go down that wrong path, but correct yourself or get yourself back up real easily and real quickly, because not only have you learned what you've learned, but it's like on an instinctual level, you, and this is what I see you want for other men, have learned how to self-correct, get yourself back up, and when you need help, as you said in the beginning of this conversation, to ask for help. Mm-hmm. So that, yeah, you don't need to suffer. You don't need to be lying down on the ground, not able to get back up, and you want to get back up and not able to ask for help. So I want to commend you on your courage, because I think that's really what it is, to not just set a model for other men and not just invite men into your game so they can have fun, but also to, you know, to really lead it for men in terms of being able to take that risk and be willing to fail. And when you do fail, because you will, to really see it as a learning experience rather than a judgment on who you are as a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
congratulations.
Yeah, I fail all the time, but I fail forward. One of my mentors, Brian Johnson, who's the CEO of Entheos, he was talking to, I think the CEO or president of Trader Joe's, who said, yeah, Trader Joe's is just a total failure. Like, I mean, everything about the business, we've just been failing from the beginning, just fail, but we just keep failing forward. I love that you said that, cause I am a recovering perfectionist. And you know, I think I was programmed by school and, you know, by my mom and by going to grad school that just things have to be perfect. And I have to get an A, and, you know, and if it's not good, then don't put it out in the world. When in reality, it's like, when I look at the most successful, like, entrepreneurs I know, it's almost the opposite. You know, they're all about just shipping, like, get it out, ship. You know, once you get it out, you can always iterate and just, you know, ask for help, you know, ask for feedback from your customers, and, you know, 80-20 principle, good enough, go, just get it out, get your book out, get your program out. And then from there, just, you know, provide excellent support and ask your customers for feedback. So I feel really so grateful that I give myself permission to fail, and I see it just as feedback now, instead of this just horrible like death sentence, or this like just feeling of shame and unworthiness and not enoughness. I just see it as, oh wow, that didn't work. I guess I won't do that again.
And I think I'm going to plug your program here, because what I just know, because I know you, is that part of what you're offering these men, which I think is powerful, is an opportunity, you know, again, to learn, but fail with support. Because I know, for all the groups that we do, you know, I was a unsuccessful perfectionist. Mm-hmm. I was even worse than you. But we have, as men, this shame about not doing it right, not doing it perfectly, getting rejected. But what we see when we have a brotherhood, which is more than a fellowship, mm-hmm. which is just friendships, but this brotherhood of support, that we actually get rewarded, not so much because we succeeded, which we do, but because we've taken that risk. And it's something about men in a brotherhood that we will stand up for a man and champion a man who is taking risks, failing or succeeding. We will champion him, because we know how scary that is. And that's a kind of support that, as men, we've never had, probably for generations. And so, as you inferred about some of these other aspects of being a man, we don't even know what we're missing. So I'll just sort of speak into what I imagine you're going to be giving these men, which is kind of support to fail into, as you say, fail forward into, and be honored for. So what I know that you've experienced, as you get a group of men that is a brotherhood, that you almost want to fail, in the sense that you want to be taking risks, because rather than being shamed by yourself or possibly others, you are championed because you're taking risks. And it's like, each time you get together, you want to brag about those risks you're taking, even if they're failures, because we start to get this momentum of support. And then inevitably, and your life is a great example of it, is that the rate of failure just goes down, not because you're afraid of it, but as you inferred, because you're actually inviting it, and you start to learn quicker and quicker how to iterate. So it's less and less of failure, and it's more fun, because as you just demonstrate with your enthusiasm, Mike, that it's fun. It's fun playing that game. And it's a game that most men don't even know exists. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I like that you've actually used the term win, I think, a couple times. And I think that's even your, Free to Win, right? Isn't that
right?
One of your companies. You know, I've actually been, I mean, very recently, I've been reclaiming my relationship with winning. Winning was so important to me when I was younger, and, you know, being the best, being the smartest. And then I think once I went into this, this kind of like spiritual path and mom passing away and just getting into men's work, I kind of stopped winning, and I stopped caring about winning. I went to the other side, full pendulum of, you know what, there's more than enough for everyone, and we can all share. But I'm actually leaning back towards the middle and being okay with winning. I mean, winning is fun, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I just want to say that because I think sometimes I see someone in like the spiritual community or someone in men's work who's almost so passive about life, and I kind of feel like I honestly got there like at some point, like in the past couple of years. I just got so passive. I wasn't asking for anything, and I really wasn't. I was just being. And now I'm actually like reclaiming winning. Because like there's nothing wrong with that either. So it's, you know, there's this duality of everything, right? Just like, you know, being and doing, light and dark. And I think any extreme is unhealthy. So I went from needing to win from when I was young to like not caring at all. And I think now I'm kind of finding this nice like middle way of competition and collaboration.
Well, I think that's beautiful. I think it's very astute, because really, I think it's more in the middle way. I think it's actually a new model that combines the best of sort of that sensitive part. And I, you know, I didn't spend a few years there. I spent a good decade there. So I know the upside and downside of that one. And also that traditional macho, hyper-masculine part, and really, you know, crafting a new model that we really don't have as men. And it's like you, I, the rest of us are co-creating this, as we travel that path ourselves. So I expect that either intentionally or unintentionally, that's part of what your students in your school will get, is this new model of what it is to be a man, so that, yeah, they can stay open and their hearts open and they grow in that way, but they also grow at being successful, not in the way that they were trained to be necessarily, but in a way that really serves them, which is, I think, a key part of that new model. And you can't have that for yourself unless you've done some of that growth work, mm-hmm. because otherwise, as you said beautifully, you end up being successful for someone else.
Yeah. I just went full pendulum the other way. It's like when someone's an alcoholic, which I have experience being, and then you say, all right, I'm just not going to drink forever. And then I did that for 20 months when I was, you know, 23 to 25. And then I had my first drink again, and I had a ton of, you know, it's like swinging back and forth. And, another example is religion. I grew up very religious. So when I left the church, I threw the baby out with the bathwater. I wanted nothing to do with the words God, Jesus, Christianity. I just thought, like, I saw all of it as evil and hypocritical and the cause of all the world's problems. And then I'm actually swinging back towards, you know, something that feels good for me, which, is a relationship with God that I choose, and a model of God that I choose, and something that feels good for me. So I almost feel like life is, you know, life is this constant exploration of the edges of, you know, edges of light and dark, edges of whatever, atheism, God, or, you know, being winning and allowing others to win, and just exploring, and then just doing what feels good for you in the moment. And Liz and I were laying in bed last night and talking. We were talking about spiritual teachers, and I said, who's your spiritual teacher? And she said, you know, I think it's my body, honestly. My spiritual,
I love it.
My spiritual teacher is my body. And I was like, yes, that's so true. You know, if you just keep following the innate wisdom of your body, of your heart and your gut, like you can't go wrong. You just can't. And
or even when you do, you know pretty quickly and you're correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we should end this, because you and I could go on for hours. I know.
Yeah, always, every time.
But I think others might have to go do something else.
True.
Is there one final quick thing that you'd like to say to invite men in?
Yeah, I would just say you can't do it alone. I certainly cannot do it alone. I have a coach and a therapist and this woman who does energy work and a chiropractor and an amazing girlfriend and amazing friends like Owen. And I mean, I have an army of support. And even with that, sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I can do this, just being super honest. So, you can't do it alone. And do something, right? There's all different price points of doing work. I mean, it could even be, you know, read these books, read The Way of the Superior Man, read Iron John, and read No More Mr. Nice Guy by Donald Glover, and have conversations with like friends about that. Like even that would just drastically change your life. Or go to Landmark or the Mankind Project, or go to a Tony Robbins event, or if you are a man who's like done some work and you want to join like a evolutionary fraternity of amazing men also on the path, then, you know, check out the School for Men. We're actually doing like a ton of like free, video trainings, for the next couple of weeks up until March 30th. And then, registration opens March 30th I truly believe that there's nothing out there like it right now. And I just truly believe in my ability just to create the most like loving, safe, and supporting containers for men to grow. It's something that it's just one of the things for me that's just really effortless and really fun. Just kind of creating these safe spaces for guys to be themselves and share their failures and share their successes. I really just like I truly care. That's why I do this. I care about your human life, and sometimes I feel like I care more than some people do about their own lives. But that's fine. That's how much I care, and I know that what one man can do, like I can do. I know that everything that I've done in my life, like you can do it if you just basically take the like conscious steps and make the commitment, and have consistent action and, you know, the support of a community. It's like all of this is possible for you. And why not? Right. So I think I basically kind of summed up everything that we talked about for the past, you know, 45 minutes, but just go for it. And, life is not a dress rehearsal. So go for it. And I'm right here in the trenches with you. So I'm not some like guru spiritual teacher dude. I'm a man who's really pushing forward in his life, scared a lot and, you know, failing all the time. But I think the thing that makes me different from a lot of guys is I'm open for feedback, and I have just a ton of support. So I invite you to join me because it's fun over here on the other side of the wall.
Well, thank you. And I want guys to join you. So I'm going to give them an incentive. If they click on this link that I'll have, I'll give them a free opportunity to take my MQ test, which is a masculine quotient test, which tests men like the IQ test or the EQ test does for the emotional quotient around the five key qualities of being a man or being successful as a man. These are the unique emotional qualities that for most of us, we did not have models and trainers for, so we're deficient in it, not because of ourselves, but because of the culture we grew up in.
Yeah.
And so this is a test, and the bonus of the test is that I ended up writing a mini book that not only explains the five qualities, but gives you, you know, things that you can do to immediately start raising that bar or raising your score. And you know, one of the things I end with saying is that the most powerful thing you can do that's going to get you the most bang for your buck and affect all those qualities is find or create a brotherhood. And so this is what you're offering, Mike, is a really a brotherhood that also supports and trains these men in developing what I would call their MQ. Mm-hmm. So I hope men do this. I want you to be successful because, well, you're my friend, but I also know that if you're successful, other men are being successful. And like you, there's nothing that warms my heart more than seeing men succeed in ways that they never knew they could. And I've seen how you, you know, jumped up in joy, cried in that success that men have when they make those leaps, and not just to see, but just make those leaps. So thank you for your precious time, and you got my full endorsement for your success, and particularly the success of all the men that participate in this journey with you.
Nice. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time and mentorship and all the fun chats that we've had on the phone. And your support has been super pivotal to my growth as a man. So thank you as well.
Well, thank you. And thank you guys for listening, and really share this little interview with others, because as Mike said, you don't have to do it alone. And here's a challenge, because that's one of the C's that I have, that as men, we like to be challenged. Mm-hmm. So here's a challenge for you. Don't just join yourself. Bring a friend or two into this. So bring a buddy into the school with you, and so that you got someone to share this with that you can be with on a one-to-one basis. So think of who you can invite to join with you. Well, thank you, Mike.
Cool. Thank you, Owen. And thanks, man. Thanks for being a part of this journey with us. If you're listening, then you are a man on the path. You're a guy who's actively, you know, seeking and working towards a better life. So thank you for caring.
You're welcome. All right, guys.